coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
To be quite honest, I'm not sure how much I played a part in last year's victory. I'm still waiting for that trophy.
Yep, I think there's a lot of people that are ignorant to do that.
It's Ross Tucker football. It's fantasy football. It's Thursday night football. It's football. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the reunion edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Pod Vader here. A reunion edition because, as you can see, Ross Tucker, my old buddy from ESPN, from the Football Today days, back on the Next Fan Up podcast. I didn't invite Matt Williamson because we just simply didn't have enough time to have all three of us talking at once, which you'll hear when I talk with Ross and exactly how Ross would like that sort of three-man reunion to go. Of course, it's at my expense, but I would expect nothing less. But it's a fun conversation. We're going to be talking about the offensive line problem in the NFL and ways to fix that offensive line problem. Are there ways to fix it? None of them are going to be easy, but we're going to talk about all of that. I also have Jay from Razzball joining us to talk about the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. And as you know, it's not just to talk about the Fantasy Expert League. It's also to talk about things that you're going to run into in your own fantasy leagues. So we're going to talk a little bit about what to do after 2 weeks of the season have gone by, how to go about trading the right players. And there is a position in the NFL right now where it's going to be very difficult to acquire the players that you're going to want slash need on your fantasy team to win championships this year. We're going to talk about that. And then, of course, we have the Thursday night football preview. We've got two teams in the Rams and the 49ers. Should be a barn burner. I'm actually expecting a very similar game to what we saw last Thursday. And, of course, that's par for the course for Thursday night football. So I'm not expecting a real interesting game other than the fact that it might be a little closer than people think. We'll talk about that with the super fans. All of that and more coming to you from the Next Fan Up podcast. We want to hear from you. NextFanUp@gmail.com is our email address. At NFU Podcast is the way to reach us on Twitter, and Facebook.com/NFU Podcast if you want to talk to us on Facebook. All of our written previews are available at our website, NextFanUp.wordpress.com. Check out what the superfans have to say in the written form about each game coming up here in week three. And of course, tomorrow we're going to have all of the previews for the rest of week three in the NFL, including what to expect over across the pond in London, as our first London game of the year is on the schedule. All right, you've waited long enough. It's time to bring him in. It's old pal Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast Empire. Hello, Ross. It's been a while.
Jay, what's up, dude? It's been way too long. I was glad somebody on Twitter said we should get back together, and then you email me and claim you're going to email me anyway, which I don't believe even a little bit.
Listen, it's easy to prove that I did say before that tweet was sent on Thursday Night Football, because I recorded a podcast that day at Thursday at noon, in which we discussed, we had reaction to a report or a piece in the Chicago Tribune about the horrible offensive line play. And I said, you know, I should reach out to that buddy of mine who used to actually play offensive line in the NFL and have a conversation about this. And thus, that's exactly what happened. Everything else was just fortuitous.
I don't use that word nearly enough. Such a good word.
I like to throw around big 10-cent words. It makes me feel smarter than I actually am.
Yep, I think there's a lot of people that are ignorant to do that.
And I didn't invite M-Dub to join us, because then we would be sitting here talking for about an hour, and I know you don't have an hour to talk with me.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
So let's talk a little bit about that article. I did send it to you. Hopefully you saw it or read it or been hearing. I mean, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt, and you had a bunch of great tweets based on the Monday Night Football game. But offensive line play in the NFL does appear to be a problem. And I'm sort of starting this based on the theory of, well, is this a player problem or is this a coaching problem?
I would say more player, because the coaching hasn't really changed that much. I mean, for the most part, it's most of the same guys, you know, that it's been over the years, mainly most of the same offensive line coaches. I think what's happened is the product of two things primarily. Number one is that, well, I'd say three, actually, now that I think about it. One is that certainly at the college level, there has been an emphasis on spread offenses and up-tempo. And guess what? It's their job to win games in college, and that's the way they've been able to win games. It's a very effective offense. It's kind of the Chip Kelly deal. And so what happens is you get guys with bigger splits, and you have guys that you're basically beating the defense by wearing them down physically and mentally more than you are actually blocking them. So what happens is a lot of college players come into the NFL without having as much experience in terms of actually blocking people and finishing blocks and sustaining pass blocks, because in college football, everything's up tempo. And even the passing game, Jay, it's quick screens, quick wide receiver screens, getting the ball out of their hands quickly. Whereas the NFL, you know, you get a pass block for 3 or 4 seconds sometimes. So that's number one. Number two, what's compounded that is the lack of practice time in the NFL. And that's both total practice time and practice time with pads on, because the league is skewing younger. They want to go younger for salary cap reasons and a whole bunch of reasons. And then what happens is you've got these young guys out there that haven't really been molded the way they used to be for a year or two. They haven't really had as many practices under their belt, and certainly not as much time with the guys next to them to really develop that type of continuity and chemistry. And they get out there, and I think they have issues right away for the two reasons I just mentioned. And then you start to have confidence issues, and then you really start to have technique issues. I would also say, though, I think defenses are now doing a better job than they ever have previously of actually, number one, having better blitz packages, but number two, making sure that all four guys that are out there are really good rushers. You know, it was a little rare, Jay, and certainly a lot different when I was playing. You know, there might be one of the interior guys was a good rusher, but that was usually it, you know? And even a lot of times, one of the DNs wasn't that great of a rusher, because there was more of an emphasis on, you know, stopping the run, and teams didn't go as much with these specialized nickel, dime, NASCAR pack. I mean, they still brought in an extra DB, but they didn't swap out the D line and specialize as much as they do now with like a Danielle Hunter or guys that are really out there just to rush the passer on second and third and long. And oh, by the way, Jay, you're also throwing the ball more than ever before. And so you're putting these guys in situations where they can give up hits and pressures more often.
So why aren't teams evolving then more to what they're doing in college? If these are the types of players that are coming up, I mean, these are the same players that are eventually in the NFL anyway.
Well, I think that why aren't the colleges wising up?
No, why aren't the NFL teams wising up? If these are the types of players that are coming up, then why isn't the game in the NFL evolving into that? I mean, we already are seeing some of it, but not everybody obviously is running those quick screens, those quick passes, get the ball out fast, protect the quarterback type of
play. Well, they definitely are doing that more than they ever did before. Definitely. But they don't do it quite as often in college as they do in college, because part of that is the rules are different for linemen being downfield on certain screen passes in college than they are in the NFL. So that mitigates a whole set of screens where, kind of like those jailbreak screens where the linemen are already downfield and you throw the ball to the receiver coming underneath. You can't do that in the NFL. They can't be downfield like that. And also, a lot of it is based on the quarterback being able to run the ball at times, because when they do go to the run game, it's usually a zone read option stuff, or even the run pass option, which, you know, there's more teams doing these run pass options, but you got to be careful because you're putting your quarterback in a situation where he could really, really get drilled.
So you mentioned during the Monday Night Football game, high school players watch both left tackles in this game. That's how not to do it. So how about just using the Monday Night game as an example? And there was another great tweet that you had about the starting left tackle was actually the starting left guard for 2 years. What do we need to do? And I say we as if I'm a part of the league. What does the league need to do to help solve some of these problems?
Man, they're not going to go back the other way in terms of practice time, you know, so that's not going to happen. And the colleges aren't going to really change the way they're going about it. So that's not going to happen. So I don't know that I see an easy answer to that. I think if anything, you're going to have to continue to design offenses in a way that set up offensive linemen for success. So a lot of that is bootlegs, quick game, shotgun, get the ball out quick, some play action. I just think, and even then, you still see Brady's taking more hits and sacks. Drew Brees, even the guys that have always been the masters of that, are taking more hits and more sacks from their offensive line. I'm not sure there really is a good answer, Jay. I mean, and honestly, if I had it, I probably wouldn't be saying it on your podcast. I'd probably be, you know, selling the magic potion to all these teams.
Come on now. This is the place where you can say those things because they're not listening to my show. What about teams like the Packers who went into a game without either of their starting left tackles? I mean, it's not just the linemen. I think there's a depth issue for a lot of teams with players. How can we help solve this issue? I mean, do we need a developmental league for the NFL?
Well, you know, first of all, I would love that. And I think it'd be great, but I don't see that coming anytime soon. That just doesn't seem to be something that they're interested in. I thought NFL Europe was great for that very purpose. You know, it did a great job towards developing not only offensive linemen, but quarterbacks and kickers as well. Seems like those were the three major position groups that they got out of NFL Europe. I think that would be awesome, but I don't really see that coming anytime soon.
And of course, you know, I'm a father of a 13-year-old boy who's played flag football his entire career to this point. Once he goes into high school next year, he'll finally put pads on. But there's more and more of that, too, at the youth level, where less kids are playing padded football because of the fear of concussions.
Yeah, well, I mean, that could be a much longer topic. The first thing I would tell you is, I mean, if you have a son and he suffers a concussion or two, then I'd probably pull him out. You know, I don't think the concussions are as much of a concern as just the volume of hits to the head over time. That's what could potentially cause CTE. And I think that's why having your children wait until they're 7th, 8th, 9th grade is very smart. But I also don't think that that has that much of an impact on, you know, the success and or failure of guys at the NFL level. You know, I mean, I didn't play till 6th grade, and 6th grade, I started on the D line. 7th grade, I played fullback in D line. 8th grade, I just played D line. I mean, I didn't really start on the offensive line until 9th grade, my freshman year.
Well, you weren't really a big ugly either until you were in college. You're like some all-star point guard.
Well, I don't know about that. I was a late bloomer physically, so my skills for basketball certainly were more geared towards bringing the ball up, shooting threes. And all of a sudden, my senior year, I was 6'4", 250, and they wanted me to go down low, and I stunk. I had no low post moves. I was much better off going back out and dribbling and shooting a three in the big dude's face.
Switching off of the offensive line before I let you go here, I was listening to our buddy Andrew Brandt's Business of Sports podcast, which is part of your football empire, and the discussion about Roger Goodell's relationship with the owners. I'm listening to some of these reports about Jerry Jones and his relationship with the commissioner and how it seems to have soured since Ezekiel Elliott's suspension was handed down. Oh, by the way, isn't that funny how the tide has turned, Mr. Jones? When it's not Tom Brady, all of a sudden we have a problem with the commissioner. But if it's Tom Brady, oh, we support the commissioner 100%. Is this sort of like the be careful what you wish for, you just might get it?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's funny. They all feel strongly when it's anybody other than them. But then when it's something regarding them that they don't like, then they start to have their issue. It really is. Everybody supports the commissioner until he's doing something against their team. It's kind of comical, but I guess that's real life, right? I mean, I guess that's just kind of the way things are. And people are going to defend what their personal self-interest is. And that there's another example of that here with Jerry Jones. Although, I don't know, Andrew kind of thought on the Business Sports podcast that maybe it was more the structure that Jerry Jones had an issue with, that he wanted incentives in there. So I don't know. I think there's still more information that needs to come out about that.
All right, Ross, where can people find you?
Well, social media, Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Facebook, it's facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Or they can always just check out the Ross Tucker Football Podcast or any of my podcasts, Fantasy Feast for Fantasy, even Money for Gambling. They're all available at RossTucker.com. Give it a shot. Subscribe. I'm very confident your listeners will enjoy it.
I think they would, too. And, you know, maybe somewhere down the road, we'll find an hour for you, me, and M-Dub to do a show together.
Sounds awesome, man. I would definitely do that. I would like to pick a week, though, like after the Chiefs game, like after the Patriots got smoked. That would be more enjoyable for me.
Pretty funny. If you had read my article at fansided.com for musket fire, you would have heard how I blamed the loss on the arrogance of the New England Patriots and their fan base.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, wow, you know me, I'm not a strict homer for the Patriots. I mean, I'm a homer, but I'm not your typical homer. I will call it like it is.
I like it. Almost as much as I like your car.
The car is gone. The car has been gone for a while. I miss it.
Oh, I would miss it too if I were you.
Ross, thanks for joining me.
Anytime, man. Jay, it's good to hear your voice. Good to talk with you.
There goes Ross Tucker. You know, it might be one of those things where I'll have Matt Williamson come on by himself next week. I think I can do that. I don't remember if it's going to be Matt Williamson or Matt Chatham. One of the Matts. I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to call my shot. We'll be on this show next week, so stay tuned for that. Let's talk some fantasy. It's time for the weekly Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League update, and I'll try not to gloat too much because I know when that happens, the fantasy gods will come after me. But I am 2-0, undefeated so far in the league, along with a couple others. This guy won the league last year. Did you go undefeated, Jay? This is Jay Long from Razzball. Hey, Jay.
I didn't. How are things, Jay? I actually, to be quite honest, I'm not sure how much I played a part in last year's victory. I essentially set my lineup for Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson. I can't remember how I got them both. I did, and I just set my lineup. Well, to be fair, Bell was suspended or out with an injury. I forget which one, out until week three or something. But from week three on, I didn't change my lineup much. I just let David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell just take me to the trophy, which I'm still waiting for, Jay. I'm still waiting for that trophy.
Maybe one day I'll get some budget to go towards a trophy.
Probably the day you win the league, right?
Right, exactly. When I win the league, I'll be like, hey, we should have something to commemorate this fantastic victory. But, you know, last week when I was talking with Chris from the Keepers, we talked about not overreacting to week one. Now we have 2 weeks worth of performances, and there's guys that I don't know if they're ever going to be what we thought they were going to be. And two of them are on your team that I want to sort of talk about a little bit with you. Let's start with the running back, Melvin Gordon. He's not the guy that I think you drafted.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, I'll admit, you know, when you look at the running backs this season, it's just, especially with the size of the league expanding, it's just, I feel really uncomfortable not having a few running backs. And it turns out basically everyone's team sort of has that running back one and a whole bunch of running back twos and threes. I think that's just how all the leagues turned out this season. There's not a true powerhouse team out there that can hold two big running backs unless you did something really wicked in the draft. And of course, Melvin Gordon was kind of on that line where it's like, well, he's not exactly LeSean McCoy, but he's not DeMarco Murray either. So he's kind of in between those guys when you're kind of looking at where you want to draft. You know, I kind of chose a guy I was comfortable with. I owned him in a lot of leagues last year. I kind of had an idea what to expect. And to be quite fair, it's still only 2 weeks. I generally, you know, in football, you're not going to ever get a good sample size to work with. It's not like baseball where you have 162 games or basketball. You have 16 games, and you just kind of have to let luck and risk play into it. But, you know, after 2 weeks, I'd feel more comfortable kind of assessing my team at the one-month mark. Unless I'm on the precipice of 0-3 or 0-4. If you get to the point where 0-3 and 0-4, you should be in panic mode at that point, because it's really hard to kind of make it into any playoffs depending on your format. You know, you'd have to go on probably a 6-game run at some point, or, you know, win 3 games, lose one, and then win another 2 games, which might already be tough depending on the hole you built yourself.
The other guy on your team is wide receiver Terrell Pryor, whom I also think is not the guy you were hoping you drafted.
Yeah, you know, even on my site, I wasn't full on the hype train for Pryor. I did sort of like him where he went in this specific draft, which is why I paid for him. I have to admit, this is the only league where I own him. I wasn't exactly sold on the Redskins offense. I think Kirk Cousins maybe a tad bit overrated considering where people were expecting him this year. But again, I have to say, even in this case, it's still a bit early. Teams are still, you know, when you look at the Chargers and the Redskins, they both had kind of tough both matchups. I mean, the Redskins won against the Rams, but it was still a pretty tough win for them to eke out. And both the teams don't look as strong. Well, to be fair, the Chargers, I don't think we're supposed to be super strong. But I think the Redskins were considered a playoff team this year, possibly. And they haven't quite looked like that yet. So I think that may be part of it. The offense, of course, for the Redskins, they're still learning to get along with each other. I don't know how much time they would need. But that's definitely been a narrative since, you know, I live in the D.C. area. I've been listening to that a bunch. So they're using that as a crutch. I'm willing to give it a couple more weeks, as I said, just to see what's going on. I do look forward to them in this matchup doing well, though, since I am facing off against you. So I would like them to do well this week specifically.
It would be nice, wouldn't it? You know, when I look at the matchups between our two teams, to me, I think the difference in this game between us is really our quarterbacks. And if Drew Brees can outperform versus the Cardinals versus Russell Wilson, who is on the road at Tennessee, I kind of like my chances here.
Yeah, I mean, Wilson hasn't put together a great game yet. It's just, you know, sometimes you just get tired of Seattle not spending money on offensive linemen. It becomes apparent every few games when they really need help on that line. But Wilson has found a way against Tennessee. They didn't look spectacular against the Jags. I was actually surprised at how well the Jags played. But Breeze, I think you just know who you're going to get. So I think you're going to get probably 20, 25 points from there. At worst, you know, if he throws a stinker up, it's probably 15. But, you know, Wilson, 15 is actually good for him. So that might be a big edge for you.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, it looks to me like it could be a wash. I mean, depending on if Melvin Gordon shows up or not, you know, Bilal Powell is, you know, been pretty strong for you, hasn't he? Oh, no, he has not.
I mean, he's been okay. I think West has been a little bit stronger. I I'm contemplating what to do with you, because honestly, I think the theme from, you know, what we were talking about earlier is the running back two possession is, or a position is just so fungible this season, I think, on all the teams. So essentially my running back two can be, it can be the Quiz, it can be Terrence West, it can be Chris Thompson, who's been doing really well. I haven't quite decided what I want to throw out there quite yet. I may even put Macklin in there, just if I feel bad about the Baldwin or the Watkins matchup. But yeah, I think honestly, what I'm afraid of this year, as opposed to last year, where last year I didn't really worry about my team because I had two stars on it. This year, you know, with expansion and it's just the talent has diluted a little bit. So my team kind of has a pretty good floor, but the ceiling, it's the last 2 weeks I've seen, I haven't been happy with what I can output on certain days, on certain matchups. So definitely something to look at.
The expansion Jay keeps talking about is not in the NFL, obviously, but in the Fantasy Expert League, where we have 14 teams now instead of, I believe we were only 10 in the previous 2 years. So it's a little bit of a large expansion, but hey, what am I going to do? I have other shows on Blog Talk Radio that we didn't even get into the league. So we have a lot of fantasy podcasts at Blog Talk Radio.
Next season, we should just go to full 30 teams, just do full simulation league. I think that's what we got to do.
Wow. Well, then as long as I get the Patriots and not Matt Chatham. Since Matt is one of the 0-2 teams in the league, I think I can win that argument.
My wide receiver won next year.
we have three undefeated teams right now. That is the Fantasy Football Guys. Doug from DFSR, killing it right now. The top scorer in the league. And then myself, I am not one of the top scorers in the league. I think I'm like fifth or sixth in terms of total points scored, so far. So I'm not even at the top, but a lot of the teams like yourself, D Rex of Pyromaniac, the Williams sisters of Her Fantasy Football, they all sort of stumbled out of the gate, but came back with a roar in week two, which I would have expected out of those teams. So good on you guys. The winless teams are Matt Chatham, Chris from the Keepers, and our fantasy insider, Joel Hennard, all sitting at 0-2 currently, but it's early. Anything can happen at this point, as you mentioned before.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't think anyone should panic until the first 4 weeks. I think, you know, generally, I think I was talking about this last week when I did my rest of season rankings. Generally, I do not release rest of season rankings on our site until the first month passes by. But, you know, with everything is just so in flux with David Johnson going down, Robinson going down, the emergence of Cohen and Galladay and guys like that, I think a lot of people, especially this year, are really focused on getting a good start out of the gate and to kind of, because let's be honest, if you do start the first quarter well, let's say you go, you know, 3-1, 4-0, you're essentially in the playoffs. You only have to, you know, win probably the next three or four games, or two games depending on your format. But if you build a hole, it's really tough to get out, because then you have to trade with the guys who have no reason to trade with you. You have to try to maybe force something on the waiver wire. So definitely the first month is important, but again, I wouldn't panic quite yet.
So let me run something by you, because I think we're now in a point where trades are going to start happening. You mentioned sort of, you know, everyone's got that one back and then a bunch of twos and threes. So trading for a top running back is going to probably cost a pretty price. In a league like ours, I mean, how big of a price are you willing to spend to get another one on your team?
And to be completely fair, I think with leagues, especially prominent leagues like this, where you have a lot of name people, and you generally don't see as many trades as you like. I don't think it's an ego thing where people don't want to be the butt end of a joke, you know, if they come out on a bad trade. But it's the fact that they built the team with the draft. I'm sure the draft meant a lot to everyone, and then the waiver wire means a lot to everyone. I think people really feel like this is their team. At least I feel that way. You know, I own this team, I built this team, and I want to see what I can do with it, you know, myself. And in terms of trades, especially this year, like you said, with running backs, you're going to have to pay an inflated rate. You know, when people ask me on the site, on certain trade scenarios, it's always people trying to grab running backs, and they're always trying to give up, having to give up a number one wide receiver and probably a number two running back just to upgrade. So you have a guy, you know, maybe focusing on trying to get Melvin Gordon, but they have to give up an AJ Green and maybe a you know, like a DeMarco Murray or something like that, which, you know, I guess wouldn't be that bad, especially with Henry stepping up in Tennessee. But, you know, those are the type of trades I think you could see here. And I think those are the type of trades that you're probably going to see in the rest of the formats out there.
Let me, if you don't mind, since I have you here, let me run you a trade that was passed to me in another league. It's a very large league. It's a 20-team league. We play with a quarterback, a running back, one wide receiver, one tight end, two flexes. I'm pretty happy with my team right now. It's also 2-0. But the trade that I was offered, I would be giving up Ty Montgomery, and in return, I would be receiving Lamar Miller and Allen Hurns. Now, Hurns would be either in replacement of Marquise Lee or even Jamison Crowder. So like I said, I'm pretty happy with my team at the present time. So I don't know if Hurns is really going to do much for me. The question is, do I want to have that extra level of stability in my wide receiver position to maybe downgrade? Is it a down? Would you say it's a downgrade from Montgomery to Miller at this point?
Not necessarily. I guess it would depend mainly if, is it standard or PPR? I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I caught
that. There's a half point PPR in this league as well.
Yeah, I think half point PPR does bring the value of Ty a bit more northerly. I've always had a weird soft spot for Lamar Miller. I know he can be kind of middling sometimes, but I do like him for the reason that he kind of reminds me of a slightly younger Frank Gore, I guess, I suppose. Mm. And, you know, with Hurns, if he's just replacing Lee, I kind of figure that's a wash. I tend to like Lee and Hurns as, you know, your wide receiver three or depth pieces on your bench. So I, you know, the problem is the Packers offense, I don't think we've seen it come alive quite yet. I think the Atlanta game was a little bit of an outlier. So I'd like to see a bit more. See, that's the problem. I think all my answers will just rotate. It's like, I just want to sit here and wait. I don't mean to be redundant, but, you know, in terms of this specific trade, if you went through with it, I'd feel all right about it. But if you didn't, I'd feel all right about it too. I think it's just very lateral in my head, the way it would work with your roster and where you're at in the season. So I think it just depends who at the end of the day, who you like more, Miller or Ty, and then kind of have to just figure out where Hurns goes on your team.
All right, Jay, where can people find you?
You can find us at razzball.com. We have a nice little football section there. Top 10 rankings so far this season, top 5 rankings last year. And on Twitter, you can find me at Jay Wrong.
Excellent. Jay, thanks so much. I will not wish you good luck because I haven't done it yet, and it's worked out in my favor.
Well, I'll be the bigger man and wish you luck after this week. How about that?
Fair enough.
All right. Take care, Jay.
All right, so we lied. There isn't a superfan battle. Unfortunately, something came up. Charlie and Jared were unavailable for their superfan battle. That does mean that those positions are available. If you are a 49ers fan or a Los Angeles Rams fan and you want to be the superfan representing that team, send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. We'd love to have you. Now, Charlie did write up a quick preview, which you'll be able to see at nextfanup.wordpress.com, and I'm going to use some of it as the basis here for this particular matchup. This is a long-standing historical series between these two teams. Obviously, they're rivals in the NFC West. It's the 135th time they've met. San Francisco holds a slight advantage, 67-64-3. These two head coaches, it'll be the first time they've ever met, obviously, as Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan are very new at coaching, at least as head coaches in the NFL. The Rams are looking to come back from their loss last week to Washington, and unfortunately for the Rams, I think they are more similar to the team we saw in week 2 against the Washington Redskins than they were the team that we saw in week 1, where they got their first victory on the season. That said, Todd Gurley has been big, 136 scrimmage yards with 2 touchdowns last week. He is joining Kareem Hunt as the only players in the NFL with at least 100 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards so far this season. season. The 49ers have yet to find the end zone, but did hold Seattle to only 12 points in their Week 2 loss, and I do think that is going to be a huge key here. I think the 49ers defense and the 49ers as a whole, despite not finding the end zone, are a much better team than people realize. Now, as I read this particular story about Brian Hoyer and his troubles in throwing the ball downfield last week, only had a 3.67 yards per pass attempt versus Seattle. Think about what I just said there. Versus Seattle, the Legion of Boom. I don't think there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks, not even Tom Brady, that's going to have much more of a yards per attempt against Seattle than that 3.67. So I do think we're going to see a little bit of a difference in the quarterbacking for the 49ers in this particular game. It's not like the Rams defense is anything like that of Seattle. That said, Aaron Donald does come back for this game. Could he have a major impact? Our superfan Charlie does believe that that is going to be the case here in this particular matchup, mentioning that it's going to be up to the new left guard for the 49ers, Laken Tomlinson, to have a strong game versus Aaron Donald. He did have a strong game against Sheldon Richardson last week, so that'll be a matchup that we're going to have to watch there in the trenches. Besides that matchup, we're also going to be watching those Niners wide receivers, specifically Marquise Goodwin versus Tremaine Johnson for the Rams. That's going to be an interesting one. Carlos Hyde ran well against Seattle. Not a lot of teams can say that. Not a lot of running backs can say that, but Carlos Hyde did. He's obviously benefiting from his new fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, or Juice, as they like to call him there in San Francisco. So Carlos Hyde, I expect to see a nice big game out of Carlos Hyde as well. The key on defense for the 49ers will be looking to keep Todd Gurley in check, because Todd Gurley has been the key, as I mentioned earlier. They'll also be watching Quan Williams, the Niner slot corner, versus rookie Cooper Kupp. A lot of people very high, especially in the fantasy region, high on Cooper Kupp. But it'll be up to that Niners defense, which is the strength of this team, to keep the Rams in check. Jared Goff obviously is evolving and maturing as a quarterback with the Rams, but can he get it done with DeForest Buckner and Eric Armstead creating pressure up the middle? That's going to be difficult. We all know quarterbacks don't like pressure up the middle. Just ask Tom Brady. That is going to be something to watch in this game. I think the Niners will find the end zone in this game. They are home dogs, by the way, on a short week and an underdog. Oh boy, I don't know what Vegas is thinking. There's a lot of home dogs this week, by the way. We'll talk a lot about that in tomorrow's show on the Thursday previews. There are a lot of home dogs, and this is one where I'm going to take the home dog and feel very confident about it. It's only 2.5 points. You're going to take the Niners. You're going to take those points, and you're going to feel good about it, and you're going to come home a winner. I don't know what the score is. Charlie likes a 16-14 victory for the Niners. It does sound just about right, somewhere in the low scoring range. All right, so 49ers in a close one. Feel confident about it. So there you go. It is the Next Fan Up podcast. You can reach us on Gmail, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter at NFU Podcast, and you can reach us on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Those are the ways to reach out to us, and we definitely want to hear from you. We want your feedback. We want to know what you want to hear from. We want to know if you like the new format of the Thursday preview show. We debuted a new format. We still went the exact same length in terms of minutes. Hopefully this week we're going to go a little quicker. We'll have to see. Who knows? Nobody knows. I don't know. I always say, famous last words, we're going to go shorter this week than last week. But hey, ultimately, if it's great football conversation, it can't be too long. That's impossible. So we're going to continue to present you with great football conversation from the people that know their teams best, the fan. And with that, here's a guy who knows his clipboard very well. It's Landry Jones. There you have it.
Next week will be next week. Today I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to go back home and hang out.